Certainly good to see so many of you here today. Thank you for braving the weather and coming out. And I know braving lack of sleep. So I know many of you had lots of family and celebrations together and like we did. And so I appreciate you being here, and I trust it will be a blessing to you. Remind everyone on the back table are gift bags that have names, your names out there, and there's lots of cards that are in there, and I want to encourage you to take those today after the service. Don't do it while I'm preaching, or I might point you out. I'm just kidding. But take advantage of those if you would, please, and I appreciate that very much. I appreciate some of you were concerned and offered your suggestions for how to help my throat. And I think Li Jun said I should get garlic and hang that around my neck. And I said, I don't think it's going to keep Brenda away. And then Ryan said I should try some Zicam. I said, I'm sorry, I don't do drugs. Salt water. Yeah, pretend I'm at the beach. There we go. It reminds me of a joke this time of year. And this is a good one for you students. There was a student that was finishing up the semester, and they had their last paper, their last final, rather, before the end of the semester. So this particular student was preparing for his final. Now, unfortunately, he didn't prepare very well, and he didn't really do too much studying. So he went into the class on the day of the final and sat down to take the test, and he looked at the paper after the professor handed it out, and he realized he didn't know any of the answers to the questions. He didn't know anything. Everything that he studied, nothing was on there. And it was probably in the material that he didn't read and in the things that he didn't study. So he sat there for a few minutes figuring out what to do, and he said, well, I'll just try some mercy here. And so he wrote at the top of the paper, he said, Professor, only God knows the answers to these questions. Merry Christmas. Well, he brought the paper up and put it on the professor's desk. The professor took it, looked at it, and immediately wrote something on it. And he called the student up and handed it back to him. And the student went back to his seat, and he looked at the paper, and it said, well, God gets 100, you get a 0. Happy New Year. Christmas, the Christmas season, craziness, busyness, so much that we pack into the Christmas season. And yet, so often we can come to a day like today when we've had the Christmas celebration and begin to feel a little empty. Like maybe we didn't really catch the full meaning of Christmas. Maybe we came to the Christmas Eve service and celebrated together. And sometimes those are good things, but even they can overshadow sometimes the true heart of the gift of Christmas. I'd like to talk with you just for a few minutes about the gift of Christmas that God has for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for indeed the beautiful gift of Christmas that you have given to us. Lord, not any of the traditions or trappings that we associate with Christmas, but the true heart of Christmas. We ask this morning, as we look into your word and as we consider what you would say to us, that we will grasp and indeed be grasped by the true heart and the meaning of Christmas. We ask your Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Although we have been celebrating the last few days the beautiful, wonderful day of Christmas and season of Christmas, we realize that we're living in a great time of turmoil, are we not? There is great turmoil and unrest throughout our world. We survey the world scene. We see the threat, ever-growing threat of terrorism all around us, and the steps, which seem at times extreme, that we have to take towards those. We see the threat of a nuclear Iran. We see, North Korea threatening South Korea as they're doing the military exercises. There's still unrest in Iraq. I saw an article in the news last night that showed, actually I guess it was Christmas Eve, that Christian worshipers went back to the Catholic Church and worshiped there, the Catholic Church that had been bombed 3 weeks ago. And that there were some, I believe it was some 45 or 50 people that were killed because of that bombing. Well, they went back into that building to worship and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our own country, there are many in this season that are desperate. Many who have lost jobs, they're out of work, they're losing their homes, their family is in turmoil. It's a difficult season. And while we celebrate and we're thankful for all that God has given to us and blessed us with, we have to remember that it is not all like that in the world. And we should not be surprised. While I give this message, I also want to temper it with the fact that, you know, the Bible has said that these times will come, and not only will they come, but they are going to increase in frequency and magnitude. In Matthew 24, it talks about the fact that there are going to be wars, rumors of wars, nation will rise against nation, people against people, and this is really, as the Bible says, is only the beginning of birth pangs, right? Jesus says the end's going to come, and it's going to come like the beginning of birth pangs. Of course, you ladies who've given birth, you know what that means. Is it starts, and it starts slow, and then they increase. They increase with frequency, and they increase with magnitude, and it takes time. By the way, congratulations. I believe Mike may mention it, but to Les and Michelle Freeman, who had their baby this past week, Logan Bryan, I believe it is. 9 pounds, 12 ounces? Woo! 10 pounds. Do I hear 11? Whew! It's like getting like that fish story. How big was that fish, Dylan? But we shouldn't be surprised that there is great turmoil in this world around us. And we are very blessed to live in a nation such as ours where there is relatively peace. There is safety. And we're thankful for that. But despite the great turmoil that is in our lives and in our world all around us, the main point that I want to share with you this morning is that God offers the gift of Christmas to each one of us. And here's what this gift is. It's a gift of His peace and His favor through Christ, the Savior and Lord. Is that not what it says there in the verse 14, that the angels are declaring, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Now, notice with me, it does not just say peace to all men. It doesn't say that, does it? It says peace to whom God's favor rests upon. And so we have to ask the question, how do we have God's favor rest upon us? Well, we do that through Christ, the Savior. And the Lord, the one who is born, indeed, born in the manger. And JoJo was quick to point out that the wise men, they didn't show up for 2 years or so. So we just call them the wise guys this morning. But Christ was born in that lowly manger, but He was born the King, born the Savior and the Lord. And so, knowing Christ, through Christ, we can have peace and His favor. Deep tranquility, satisfaction, well-being, and fulfillment in our life. True peace. God's peace. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, even this morning you can begin a relationship and have that peace. You can embrace Jesus Christ and you can have that peace that He speaks of here. And if you're a believer, even if you are troubled, even if there are things in your life that are burdening you, concerning you, you can still have that peace that the Lord Jesus Christ brings. Well, what does this peace look like in our lives? Maybe one of the ways we can talk about it is talk about what it is not. In that day, when the angels are declaring peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests, what was this peace not? Well, number one, it was not what the Romans were trying to bring. The Romans, even as great a people as they were, they ruled over a vast empire at this time, right? Their empire stretched from Egypt, North Africa in the south, all the way up to the mountainous regions in Northern Europe, Britain, as far as Britain, over in the Atlantic Ocean, all the way over to the Euphrates. I mean, their kingdom was huge, massive, and it was amazing what they had done. And they boasted of the Pax Romana, the Roman peace that they brought. They brought order and stability to the savages around them, to the barbaric tribes all around them. They brought order and peace. And, of course, we're familiar with all of their achievements. You know, even this day, the Roman arch is still used, right? You can see in places still some of the Roman aqueducts that are in existence and even in use. When we were over in Turkey for the pastor's tour, I guess it was 4 years ago, there is actually a Roman aqueduct that runs from Constantinople at that time. We call it Istanbul now, right? But there was actually an aqueduct that ran for miles and miles and still in use. I mean, over 2,000 years old. That's amazing. But with all their achievement and all that they had done for the world and bringing order and peace, of course, they didn't talk about that their tranquility was enforced by military might. They didn't talk about the thousands that were slaughtered through war and massacred under their iron rod rule. It's kind of like modern day Iran, right? You know, they boast about their country, how it's in order. Of course, they're killing and massacring thousands who, you know, rebelling and speaking against the dictatorship there. But even with all that they achieved, this is not the peace that Jesus had come to bring. Jesus did not come to conquer the Romans and, you know, this is what the Jews of the day wanted, of course. They longed for peace, and the way that they longed for it was to be free from the Roman rule and oppression. They wanted to rule themselves as a nation, as they had under King David and his successors. They wanted that kind of self-rule and independence. They believed that the Messiah, the Deliverer, would arise to bring them this kind of peace, and understandably so. Look with me in chapter 1 at verses 67 through 65. 67 through 65. And this is it's actually a prophecy that is recorded from Zechariah after God loosed his tongue so that he could speak again. And so, beginning verse 67 of chapter 1 of Luke, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to Abraham, our father, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Sure sounds to me, if I were to read that in that day, that Jesus was going to come, the Messiah was going to come and set them free from the Roman rule and oppression. Most of us, I think, would also have had that understanding. But, you know, this is a prophecy about the impact of the Messiah, not necessarily his immediate action. You understand the difference? A person can bring about an impact through their life, and it may not necessarily come from their immediate action. In fact, it's often that way with great leaders. They will bring about certain actions, immediate actions, and it brings about an impact that sometimes is not seen for decades, if not hundreds of years later. Abraham Lincoln was one of those. George Washington was one of those. We at the time, there were many people that hated them, you know, that were against them. And yet we look back on them, we make them a national hero for what they've done. So it is with Christ. They didn't understand that his immediate action was not necessarily going to be what they expected, but it would bring about what the prophecy was saying in terms of impact. You see, they thought the Messiah was to come to be a conquering king, and by his victories, his immediate victory over his enemies, he would establish the peace. You understand that the Jews are still looking for that even to this day. Every year, they pray that the Messiah will come, and they say at the end of the year, next year in Jerusalem. They're looking for the Messiah to come, and if he doesn't come in a particular year, they say, and of course their year is different. They celebrate on Rosh Hashanah, right? It's in September, their new year, and so at the end of that year, they say, next year in Jerusalem. They're looking for the Messiah to come and establish peace. Even today, they're looking for that kind of peace. But this is not the kind of peace that the angels are speaking about here. No. What is it? It is the gift of peace, which is an inner peace, where we are, number one, in right relationship with Christ. We're right relationship with God through Christ. Notice, back in chapter 2, in verses 10 and 11, the angel speaks to the shepherds. And he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You see, Jesus' work as the Messiah was first and foremost to be our Savior. To come and to set us free, to bring a deep inner peace, a peace of mind, a peace of soul and heart made possible by the Savior. Regardless of what's happening in the world, we can have this peace because, you see, it's a peace between God and us. It's a peace between God and us that comes from His grace, His favor. It's a peace that comes from having the Savior live in us. He brings that freedom from sin's consequence and freedom from that separation and death that all men live in. Paul describes it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just some automatic thing where everyone is at peace with God. No, those who are justified by what? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. It is by grace you are saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one will boast. God gives this gift to you, but it's not automatic. You must receive it. This is God's gift, Christmas gift to us today. True peace, inner peace that comes from knowing Him in relationship, intimately, through Christ. Being in right relationship, made possible by Christ. Why? Because the Scripture says we were once His enemies. We who were in sin and rebellion were once His enemies. I've used this illustration before, but let me share it again. It's very appropriate for today. Don and Carol Richardson were missionaries to Irianjaya, probably close to 50, 60 years ago. They were some of the first missionaries to make it into Irianjaya, which really was, at that time, they were still living in really a Stone Age culture. And you remember that I think it was last spring, we had John Cutts, who came here, who was ministering in Irianjaya. And John is the son of Bill and Gracie Cutts. They were missionary associates along with Don and Carol Richardson. Well, they tell us, Don and Carol tell us of a practice that the tribes had there. If one member of one of the tribes were to kill another member of a warring tribe, in order to avoid an all-out war where there would be just thousands massacred from an all-out war, the first tribe who had the offending member would actually have to give what was called a peace child. A small child was given and taken and offered by that offending tribe, and it would offer to the offended tribe to appease the death of the member killed. In other words, they practice eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, life for life. That's what they practiced. And thankfully, with the missionaries' help, they were able to move them away from that practice and to begin to teach them about forgiveness and turning away from war and murder. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in that stable to be our peace child. Isn't it amazing, though, that God Himself offered His Son as a peace child for you and for me? The offended one is the one who offers the peace child, rather than we who are the offending ones. You see, we could not offer ourselves. We ourselves are not adequate. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot give anything that makes up for our sin or our life. In Ezekiel it says, the cost of a soul is expensive. Who can pay for it? Only God was able to pay for it by His Son. God supplied the child, His Son. Jesus Christ was the Savior born to bring us peace because He is the Prince of Peace. In John 14:27, Jesus said these words. He said this to His disciples. He says, peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. You see that? You can have peace in your life even if everything is going wrong in this world. Even in the midst of just terrible, terrible situation. We were talking yesterday about some of the conditions in other parts of the world, and Brother Augustine was talking about Christians in Pakistan, how they are terribly persecuted. And you know, just for the fact that they are Christians, they are terribly persecuted. But you know what? Even those Christians in Pakistan have the peace of the Lord in their lives. Why? Because they know that peace comes from God Himself. It doesn't come from the world, and it doesn't come from the world's circumstances. It's an inner peace, peace with God. But as I said a few minutes ago, it is not automatically given to everyone. No, again, peace on earth to men on whom His favor rests. The truth of Christmas is that this peace is offered to you, but you must personally receive it. If I were to wrap up a beautiful Christmas gift for you this morning, and I'd put some beautiful paper on it, and I'd tie a nice bow, and I'd have to get somebody else to tape it and tie it, because mine come out terrible. But if I were to bring that nice package in here, and I would have set it right there, and I'd say, Greg, this gift is for you. And yet Greg just sit there and he'd say, oh, thanks. But never take that gift. Never go over and untie that bow and tear off the paper and open it and take it. Make it his own. What good would that gift do him? Or for any of you, if I brought you a gift and yet you let it sit there and you would not open it and receive it and make it your own, what good would that gift do you? It would do nothing. And see, folks, that's where so many people are at today. The gift is revealed right here in the Word. And, you know, there's literally thousands of families that have the Bible. You know, they have the big, dusty, leather-bound Bible sitting on their coffee table. You know, it's got metal edges on there in case they get in a fight. They can use it as a weapon. But they never crack that Bible open. And they talk about it as if it's something they really love and cherish. But they never crack it. They never open it. So it is with the peace of the Lord that He offers to us. So many people know about it. They've heard about it. They've come to church services. They come to Christmas Eve and Christmas services. And yet they've never received Christ and received the peace, the gift that He has for you. You must personally turn from sin and unbelief and put your faith in Christ and receive that gift. You have to ask for it. It's a gift that's offered to you, but you must receive it and ask for it. The truth of Christmas is that the Christ child we worship in the manger came to bear our punishment and our sin by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. He conquered death and forever put away its power for all of us who receive Him. And He gives the gift of peace. Again, on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. God's favor rests on those who respond to His call to repentance, turning from sin and self-will, turning from unbelief, and receiving Jesus Christ into our lives as Lord and Master. You need to know Jesus, not just know about Him. It breaks my heart sometimes as I talk with people, and so many people know about Jesus. Indeed, we probably in this country, and I know there are exceptions, but there are many who know a lot about Jesus. Maybe they've been to church. Maybe they've turned on the TV and heard different preachers or teachers. Maybe they've read a book. Maybe they've even read part of the Bible. But so many people do not know Jesus Christ. And it's evident because they don't have true peace, inner peace in their lives. So number two, we receive this gift by believing in Christ, putting our faith in Him. We trust what He has done for us, and we receive Him in our lives. I want to make the point this morning, I want to make it crystal clear that I'm not just talking about a head knowledge or even an intellectual acquiescence, but rather that heart embracement. Look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Charlie Busey is going to read that for us.
Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of circumcision, or a husband's will, but of God.
Go back to verse 12 for me. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gives them the right to become children of God. He gives you the right, and you receive the peace. Let me say this to you. Understand that repenting and turning from your sin, that does not save you. Understand that. It is not us, by our effort, turning away from sin and turning towards Christ. That is not what saves us. Christ saves us. Christ coming into your life is what saves you. The condition, the requirement, is that you must turn away from sin, turn away from yourself, and turn to Him. But understand, it is not that exercise, it is not that act of your will that saves you. There's a lot of Christians that are hung up in the legality of turning away, whether it's from turning away from sin, or turning away from bad habits, turning away from a certain kind of appearance, or a certain way that you dress, certain way you wear your hair, certain habits that you've fallen into, addictions that you're under. That is not what saves you. It is not what gives you the peace. It is God's favor, God's grace that comes into your life that saves you.
Amen.
Hear me today. Don't go through this Christmas season and another new year thinking that your salvation is based on the way that you perform. You can't perform for God. You can't even perform for yourself. How many of us have in our mind the way that we should be living? Right? We kind of have this picture in our mind of the way that we should be living. But we all blow that, don't we? We just blow it. I mean, amen, brother, me too. You put one hand up, I put two up. You know, and we have this picture in our mind of the way we should be, the way God expects us and wants us to be, the way we want other people to think that we are. But we know the truth, don't we, in our heart. We know the truth that we fail, we fall far short of that. Don't you think God knows that? Don't you think that's why He sent the Savior? So that you and I, in our failure, in our stumbling, would turn to Him for His grace, for His favor. And that is what saves us. But you must come to that place of recognition. That's why He gave the law, right? That's why the whole Old Testament is based on the law, which shows us our sin, shows us our need for the Savior, shows us why we need God's grace and God's favor. And so we respond to this call in obedience. We receive the Christmas gift of peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes to live in us. And so number three, this gift of Christmas is that we can have God's peace by knowing Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, who reveals the Father to us. He reveals the favor of the Lord to us. Again in John, chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Ryan Allen will read that for us. Read it again.
Father's side has made Him known.
Amen. Jesus didn't just come to give a good sermon, teach a good lesson, even live a good example of a life before us. But no, to make known, to reveal the Father, His love, His favor to you and to me. That's God's Christmas gift. Isn't that awesome? We hear it so often sometimes that we miss it and we grow callous to it. We grow immune to the fact. But I'll tell you what, you know how you solve that? This is a little off-topic hint, maybe sermon. Go get around a bunch of sinners. I'm serious. I am dead serious. Go get around people, and by sinners, we're all, please don't take that in a derogatory way. We're all sinners. But what I mean is, go around some people who don't know Jesus. Go hang around them a little bit. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. I might get infected. Let me give you a hint. You already are. You already are infected. Okay? So you don't need to worry about that. Jesus went around, hung out with the sinners. Says he went and hung out with those who drank too much, and so he was accused of being a drunkard. He went to people of questionable character, and so he was called a friend of prostitutes and tax collectors. Okay? He didn't seem to be too worried about that. It was only the religious Pharisees that were really worried about it. Okay, but Jesus wasn't worried about it. Now, he remained pure. And I'm not encouraging you, especially if you have a particular weakness, to go to a particular place that's going to cause you to fall. What I'm saying is, just get around people who don't know Jesus Christ. And just spend some time and talk with them. Just listen a little bit. And don't go there with the purpose of preaching. You know, you need to be able to understand people. You need to know where they're at before you can tell them about Jesus. Because people will know in a heartbeat whether you really care or not. They really do. You know, God has sent us out not as His... what's the word? I'm sorry, it's escaping me. He sent us out as His ambassadors, not as His assassins. Some of us have this mentality, I've got to go get this person for Jesus. Like you're going to assassinate him. You don't need to do that. And God doesn't need you to do that either. But what He does need you to go is to be His ambassador. What are we representing if we're His ambassador? We represent His love and His mercy and His grace in Christ. Yes, I understand it comes with, you know, an understanding of sin and the law, and I understand all that. But we have to get around people who don't understand that and begin to just get a sense of where they're at. Get a sense of what it means to live in this world without the hope of eternal life, without the hope of forgiveness. Without the relationship of knowing Jesus Christ. Get around some people and it will help you to appreciate your salvation. It'll help you to appreciate the grace that is ours in Christ. I don't know about you, but most days, I can't say every day, I would be a liar, but most days, I'm just overwhelmed with the grace and the favor that is in my life because of Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but simply because of what He has done for me, and that, man, I get to live in relationship with His peace in my heart. And folks, you see, if you don't appreciate that in your own life, then you certainly won't share it with other people. You won't. Or it'll just become sort of this, you know, rigid, robotic duty that you do. Well, I've got to go tell people about you. I've got to go witness. No, you don't. You need to be His ambassador. Ambassador of grace, ambassador of love. And so you take the Prince of Peace with you. And you know, you bring, as Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You bring the peace of Christ with you into people's lives. Maybe they're at a point where they've lost hope. And you just bring the hope of Christ to them. Maybe they're in such turmoil, agony, and you bring the peace of Christ with them. Now, if they refuse you, if they resist and they don't want that, there's nothing you can do about that. You know, and don't bash them because of that. If they're not open, bless them and move on. So have you received that Christmas gift of peace into your life so that you can share it with others? Or believer, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, you know, are there things in your life that you're just allowing those things to disturb and disrupt your peace? Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives it to you." What did he mean by that? He meant that the peace the world gives to you, it's based on circumstances, right? If things are going well, if, you know, my job is doing okay, if I'm bringing in enough income, if my friends like me, if, you know, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, my wife is not mad at me and upset with me, you know, that's the way things are. And that brings me peace. No. That's not the peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord does not depend on circumstances. And so often we as Christians, we allow burdens. We allow things that bother us to take away our peace. One gentleman has been coming here just a few weeks, Billy Martz. Some of you have gotten a chance to meet Billy. And Billy has a tremendous testimony, and one of these days I'd like him to share it. But God has delivered him out of a life of alcoholism and drugs, and he'll tell you in a heartbeat what God has done in his life. He's just so thankful. And he stopped by here Friday afternoon, and he brought me a little wrapped Christmas gift, and he was so excited to give it to me, you know. And so he said, "Go, open it up, Pastor, open it up." So I opened it up, and it was a plaque with a writing on there. Not a picture, but just a writing. It said, "Tom, I've got everything under control. Jesus." And he said, "Pastor," he said, "Jesus revealed that to me years ago. And," he said, "ever since then, I have just had peace in my life." See, because we get so wound up, don't we? You know, we're running like hamsters in a wheel. And we're trying to do this, and we're trying to do that, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna make that happen. And, you know, "Lord, I'm just gonna do this, and it's gonna take care of that." And you know what? We end up running ourselves ragged. I do it. I'm preaching to myself here. You know, when the Lord is saying, "Look, I've got it under control. If you would just rest, and let me handle things." Now, that doesn't mean we're irresponsible. We don't do things we're supposed to do. But he's got it under control. So, believer, are there things that are burdening you, taking away your peace, your joy? Is there a sin that's hindering you? Or is God calling you to give something up that he knows is not good for you? You know it's not good for you, and yet you've been resisting. There's certain things that will not allow his peace in our lives because we resist him. And his peace can't flourish. His peace cannot be upon us because of those things. He says in Philippians 4:7, "Give me those things. My peace, which transforms all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." So as I close this morning, my first question is, if you're here today, do you know Jesus Christ for certain? Do you know that peace that he gives to you? If not, you need to turn to Christ today. Repent of your sins. Return away from trusting in yourself, thinking that you're good enough for God, and receive Christ and his gift of grace and favor so that you can have his peace. Or if you are a Christian here today, is there something you need to lay down? Is there a burden, a concern? You just need to lay it down. Or is there a sin that you need to lay down? Turn away from it. We can choose God's peace through Christ, our own self, our own merit, our own worth, our own sin. Which do you want today? Which will you receive today? Let's pray. Father, in these quiet moments, we're very much aware of how much you love us, Lord. None of us are here by mistake today. You've brought us here for a purpose and a destiny, even this day. Lord, I know some of us are here that we didn't really want to come this morning. We struggled to get up and we would have rather slept in and or maybe done some other things or gone somewhere else. But Lord, You brought us here and You've spoken to us through Your Word, by Your Spirit. Lord, right now I ask that You will deal with every person's heart. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would reach out to Jesus, cry out to Him, ask for His forgiveness, ask for His peace, ask for Him to be their Savior and Lord. And then, Lord, for those believers who are here today, struggling, grasping, holding on to things which rob our peace and rob our joy, Lord, would You give us the grace to just lay it down and let You be Lord in our lives. Father, I trust You by Your Holy Spirit to do Your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our servers and elders are going to come and we're going to celebrate communion together.